Wow.
I don't know if this is going to work or not, but somehow my call dropped, so I apologize about all that. I was just going on and on and on about how stress is related to gout and trying to help people understand that stress is a very big contributor to gout. It's a very... it's something that we all get into thinking that gout is all about just what we eat, but part of what I'm trying to do on these phone calls and my Google Hangouts and that kind of thing are that we have all kinds of different ways that all different kinds of contributors to gout, and stress is probably much more important to consider in terms of getting over gout and getting rid of chronic gout attacks that are happening continuously. So I hope that anybody who's still left on the call or anybody that's listening to the replay here, I'm going to figure out how to get it so that this is a valuable piece for someone to listen to and consider and start to do something about managing stress. But the one thing that I hadn't gotten to that I really wanted to make sure was put out there when we're talking about stress and how gout is related or how it's such a contributor to gout is that one of the biggest things that causes stress in our bodies is blood sugar management. And when we eat too much sugar in general, too many refined carbohydrates, we're operating on, we've got too much glucose going on in our blood, and we're getting real high insulin response. When that goes on too long, blood sugar management becomes difficult, and then our adrenal glands have to come to the rescue. And so it's estimated that there are probably 80 to 90% of everyone in our American society today, because we live in such stressful times, is adrenal fatigue. And so that plays into just what we're talking about, the rise in gout and how many people are experiencing problems with gout these days. So getting the diet straight, learning different ways to calm, stay calm. One of them is breathing. One of them is eating the right foods. Another stress on the body is being dehydrated too often. So there are a few really simple things that you can do just to manage stress and go in the direction of preventing gout. And they just kind of go air, water, food. Breathe deep. Make sure you drink enough water every day. Eat those good foods. Those good alkaline-forming foods, and be very careful with getting high-quality meats and proteins. So that was kind of my whole wrap on stress. I apologize if the call dropped, but if anybody is still on and anybody has anything to add to this conversation about stress and gout, please jump in.
So, Bert, this is Mick. I have a couple questions.
Hey, Mick. Good to talk to you. Yes, I'm sure you do.
One is, you mentioned that fight or flight produces cortisone, or actually overloads us with cortisone.
Cortisol, actually, yeah.
Cortisol, is that the same?
It's not the same. But chemically speaking, they're very close to the same.
Because cortisone helps inflammation,
mm-hmm.
but if you are taking low dose of cortisone and you have this stress-induced fight or flight cortisol production, do they then combine to overload, or is it not? Does it work that way?
You know, I don't think it quite works that way, and I don't know specifically how to answer that question, but there is a component to, you know, in some ways, cortisol is sort of vilified these days. You know, it's kind of like the bad guy, and, you know, it really shouldn't be, because our adrenal glands produce cortisol, and there are very specific chemical reactions in the body that it's responsible for and it's needed for, but it also has a component to it that helps with the anti-inflammatory response. But again, when we are in a state of stress and we're calling on that cortisol, we're calling the cortisol, you know, we've created, at least in our minds, a fight or flight response, and now we're flooding our bodies with hormones that, for one thing, are not then being physically used up. Then we've got these free floating hormones, and they're doing all kinds of things that the body doesn't need to be doing. But the other side to that is, I kind of lost my train of thought. The other side to that is that we in creating a body condition where we have too much hormones, how we have too many hormones going on, that's the part where our blood pressure goes up, our heart rate goes up. What I really kind of focus more on in relationship to gout is that part of that fight or flight response is that we our blood gets diverted from our digestive system and into our limbs so that we can run and we can fight. And then that starts this whole cascade of we're not digesting the food right, we're especially not digesting the proteins right. Then later on, it's causing all this blood sugar dysregulation. That has an effect on our kidneys. And one of the biggest things that cortisol ends up getting used for in our day and age is that in order to keep our blood sugar stable, I mean, insulin brings blood sugar down, but glucagon brings blood sugar back up. And our pancreas gets worn out, and it doesn't produce the glucagon so that the blood sugar is managed correctly in terms of bringing it back up. And so what ends up happening is the adrenal glands and cortisol then force the liver and the muscles to release glycogen and turn it into glucose for us to use. But, you know, the fight or flight response was only supposed to happen like maybe once a week. But now we're living in a time where our adrenal gland and that response and the cortisol gets released like three times a day. And so people are becoming adrenally fatigued and hormonally imbalanced, and that's having all these effects. And, you know, directly or indirectly, that's why I think a lot of us have ended up with gout because of it. That was pretty long-winded, huh?
that's me, the perfect picture. But, okay, so everything you said leads to the second question, and that is if you use exercise to relieve stress, what happens
then we're following along more like how the body was designed.
Unless you overdo the exercise.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it certainly could go too far in the other direction. But yeah, once that fight or flight response kicks in, then, you know, the whole idea was you're going to have to run or you're going to have to fight. And if you're doing something like that, then you're probably moving the hormonal activity through your body in a more normal and natural way. So
that's what you'd recommend.
Yeah. I mean, our bodies were designed to move. So, you know, this sedentary lifestyle we all have these days is probably not really working in our favor in so many different ways. Yeah. Is there any more, Nick, that you've got going on? Any other questions?
So exercise and the right diet.
Yeah.
And learn to be calm. That's a hard thing to learn, by the way, or change, habits to change.
It certainly is. I mean, when we've lived this way for so many years, yeah, it is a hard thing to change. But again, there's such a physiological component to that in terms of the good foods that we eat. And as long as we're, you know, really paying attention to our blood sugar management, that blood sugar management has a lot to do with how much or how little we have to call on those adrenal glands. So, you know, watching those sugars and watching those highly refined carbohydrates, namely the grains, but just to keep it simple, like bread, cereal, and different kinds of bread and cereal and pasta and crackers and things like that, those are the ones that inadvertently end up being readily available and inexpensive and therefore very prevalent. And so we all just get way loaded up on too much sugar, and not usually from the directly from just sugar itself. It's from eating too much bread, you know. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to kind of open it up. Is there anyone else that has comments, questions, anything to add to the conversation here? I'm not even sure, Mick. It might just be you and me.
Yeah, I called back.
Yeah, yeah, it dropped. It was, I don't know what happened. So. But if there is anybody else on, or if anybody listens to the replay, I just kind of wanted to throw it out there that, you know, I'm doing these calls every Thursday at noon. I've had to change my every other week Google Hangouts. I'm doing those on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, which will be next Tuesday. I think it's February 5th. I'm going to be talking about lithium and gout. Lithium, and there are several different ways you can get lithium, lithium orotate, lithium picolinate, different ways like that. So that's what next week's Google Hangout is going to be about at 1 o'clock. I had to move the time from 2 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Thursdays, those second and fourth Thursdays. And it will be on February 22nd that I had to reschedule from this last Sunday my talk about how to stop a gout attack naturally. That I'm going to be doing at the Natural Grocers at the corner of Colorado and Evans here in Denver. So I just wanted to throw that out there and make sure everybody knew about that. And otherwise, Mick or anyone else, anything more, questions, comments you want to add before we sign off?
No.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, let's email some more, Mick. And I think I owe you an email right now. And we'll catch up a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mick, and thank everybody else that got on the call or is listening to the replay. Bye now.